Got your Bible? Say, I'm ready to hear and to receive in Jesus' name. All right, John chapter 10. Let's go back to John chapter 10. This is titled The Injunction, Part 2. And I talked about what the injunction was. I want to just really quickly summarize it again, because, like I said, we're not just doing, gospel light or soft, wishy-washy gospel. We're hitting you with the Word of God. I want to put faith in you, because the times that we're living in, the Bible says, are going to get darker and darker and darker, but the church will get stronger and stronger and brighter, and we are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We will stand up strong. We will never bow down to Satan, and we will give the gospel to everybody. John chapter 10, verse 18. We're coming to a point where the disciples are very afraid, because Jesus, they're afraid that he's going to get killed and things like that. So John 10, 18, Jesus says this. He says, "No one takes from me, no one takes it from me." He's talking about his life. Well, let me say verse 17. "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Watch this, and he says, "This command I have received from my Father." The Greek word for command is injunction, and I said it's a legal term. In other words, it's a judge's executive order that the Father signed. He signed it and he gave it to Jesus. Okay? So let me explain it this way. Jesus is about to come to the earth, right? And he wasn't Jesus then. He was the Word, the Son of God. And they're sitting in heaven and having a conversation. And the Father looks to his Son and says, "Son, you know you have to go down there. You know you have to become one of them. But I want to let you know in advance, they're going to bully you. They're going to try and kill you. They're going to try and do things to you. They're going to hate you, persecute you. But let me tell you this one thing. They can't touch you without your permission. They can't do anything to you. And if anybody tries, tell them, my daddy said so. Tell them, daddy said so." That's what he says here. He says, "I have a command that I have received from my daddy." Now, when our kids, and I'm sure you did the same thing with your kids, but when our kids were young, one of the things we did with them is have the stranger talk, right? We sat them down and said, "Listen, while you're outside or you're at school, you need to stay away from strangers. If anybody comes to you and says, 'Hey, you want, let me bring you home, get in the car,' say to them, 'No, my daddy said so.'" You see, there is a lot of power and confidence in a kid when daddy says something. I know this is kind of, it's Father's Day, right? So I just want to hit you with some Father's Day stuff. But there's so much confidence in a young kid when they know their daddy is behind them. When their daddy gives them a word. When daddy said so. Right? It's like the kid that says, daddy, buy me a bicycle. Said, "Okay, I'll buy you a bicycle." And then the kid goes back to daddy, "Get my bicycle." "Yeah, not yet. I'll get it. But daddy, you said so." When daddy says so, that carries a lot of weight with it. And so Jesus said, "My daddy said so." So you need to say the same thing and say, "Hey, my Father said so. My daddy in heaven said so. He said, 'No weapon formed against me shall prosper.' That's his word to me, and I stand in confidence." That's faith, is a confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. His word to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go to John chapter 7. Back up a little bit. So listen, dads, moms, speak to your kids and be a man or woman of your word. If you say something, you need to make sure your kids trust in what you just said. Because there's power in a daddy's word. John chapter 7, verse 1. Now, we talked about this last week and how the disciples, they were trying to kill him. Verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not walk to Judea, because the Jews sought to do what? Kill him, right? Now, verse 2, now the Jews and Feast of the Tabernacles at hand, and his brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Wow, pretty bad. Right now, so check this out. So here he is. They're telling him to watch out. And here's what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, listen, there's a reason why I got 12 disciples. They're my bodyguards. They'll protect me. You know, Peter, I know you're a big mouth, but, you know, when it comes to time, you know, open your big mouth and say some dumb things and just protect me. And Judas, you got my back, right? Ha, ha, ha. That's a joke. Jesus did not use his disciples as bodyguards. Amen. He didn't need bodyguards because he spoke the word and his daddy said so. Now look at John chapter 7. Stay here. Go to verse 25. It says, now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? Notice they wanted to kill him. They didn't just want to grab him or put him in jail. They wanted to kill Jesus. Oh, thank you for the lights. Let there be light. Do it again. Let there be light. There you go. Perfect. Verse 26. But look, watch this. Jesus knew they wanted to kill him. They told him to run away. He said, no, I'm going to hang out here for a while. When it's my time, I'll let you know. Then he comes out in public, and watch what he does. 26. But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? He says, however, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, he says, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him and he sent me. Verse 30, therefore they sought to take him, watch this, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. So notice what Jesus does. He gets out in the middle of the public arena and he begins to speak the word. And he wasn't just speaking the word lightly. He was speaking it boldly and loudly. And he said, thus saith the Lord, you know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he would speak the word boldly. And watch this. It says they couldn't even get near him to touch him. Why? Because when you speak the word, it creates a supernatural protection over you. When you speak the word, it goes forth and it accomplishes what God has said for it to accomplish. It doesn't return void. His daddy said so. Your words are supernatural. Now, I know it doesn't say that there, but there's an implication. Jesus spoke the word. He said, it's not my hour. No man can touch me. I lay it, pick it up, and I lay it down. My daddy said so. Amen. So they didn't even have to, they tried, but they were like frozen in place. Well, are you going to get him? No. Are you going to get him? No. Why? I don't know. It's just something about this guy. I can't even move. So when Corona tries to get in your house, no, you've already said that there's an injunction against Corona. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Psalm 91 says, no plague shall come near my dwelling place. It shall don't even come near me. Angels have charge over me to guard me in all my ways. That means they'll guard you against Corona. Your words create a spiritual force around you. Your words are death and life, the Bible says, and you will consume the very fruit of them. So listen, when you don't speak the word, you don't declare what daddy says, you lose by default. Well, I believe, but you haven't said anything yet. What do you mean? Well, I believe. Well, say it. You got to speak the word. When they came after Jesus, remember the devil came to Jesus and said, well, throw yourself down. What did Jesus do? He didn't sit there and say, I ain't listening to you. No, he said, it is written. He spoke the word to create something. Amen. Praise Jesus. Look at verse 44. Go to verse 44. It says this. It says, now some of... go to verse 40. Therefore, many of from the crowd, when they heard this saying, truly, is this the prophet? Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David? Verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. They couldn't even get close. The Greek word for laying hands here is not just like, oh, let's just lay hands on him. No, it physically seize him. It means to grab a hold of him. I want you to get this. It means, listen, his enemies wanted to physically get a hold of him. How many times has depression tried to get a physical hold on your mind? How it feels like there's something wrapped around my head and I just don't know what it is. It feels like something's got me. Hold on. Yep, that's when you declare, thank you. You want here. That's when you declare the injunction. Hold on. Watch this. Hold on. It gets better. John, you can run on this one. So watch the arguments. Verse 45. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever, what? No man ever what? Spoke. There's things you just need to say. And it's not your opinion. We don't want to know your opinion. We don't want to know how you feel about things. We don't want to know what's on your chest. Well, I just need to get this off my chest. No, you need to speak the word. You need to, it's the word that has power. Your opinion has nothing. All your opinion is going to do is offend a lot more people. The word needs to be spoken. There's something about what he said that we just seem to touch this guy. What would he say? My father said you can't touch me. You can't touch this. That's the best I could do. You talk, that's where MC Hammer got his stuff. MC Hammer's a Christian, right? He said, you can't touch this. Okay. I faded out on camera number 3, so they did not see me on camera number 3. Listen, it was very clear. It says this guy, you know, it's just the things he says, it makes me sit here and I can't touch this guy. Amen. All his enemies are coming against him. I want you to see this. Wait, we're not done. Watch this. Verse 47, and the Pharisees answered and said, are you also deceived? How many of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law is a curse. Nicodemus, who came out by day, watch this. All right, let me go to verse 52. Here's where you're going to start to run. Ready? Watch this. They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet arisen from Galilee. Ready? Verse 53. Underline this. Don't forget this. He says this, and everyone went to his own house. Let me explain what just happened. Jesus gets up boldly twice, and he speaks the word. And they say, are you going to get him? No, I can't touch him. What, you get him? No, I'm not going to get him. You get him. And no one was able to lay hold of him. Watch this. He stood his ground, and what did his enemies do? Go back where they came from. Yeah, I'm going home. I can't touch this guy. So when you stand against Corona, because it came from the pit of hell, and you stand and say, no, you ain't touching me, Corona. I'm going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, and there's no weapon formed against me. I plead the blood of Jesus over me. And you stand your ground, even if it took 3 months, guess what Corona does? I'll see you later. I'm going back home again. They all went back to their houses. Poverty and lack. You stand against poverty and lack, and eventually it will leave you. Jesus stood against Satan, and the Bible says that he left him for a season. Why? Because he couldn't do anything. You resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? He will flee from you. But the way you resist the devil is not sitting there and just looking him in the eyes. You've got to say something. And you got to be bold about it. And when he says, I'm going to kill you, say, well, let me get a little bolder. You touch me. My life is hid in Christ. And if you want to get to me, you got to get to him. And you remember the last time you got in touch with him, he took care of you. He crushed your head. Well, you know you can't put that last $10 you have in the offering bucket, because then you're $10 short. You can't get gas and you can't have food. And no, the Bible says when I sow seed, you will bring forth a harvest. You'll bring forth much fruit out of it. It will prosper. And this is not my bread, it's my seed. I don't eat my seed, I eat my bread. I'm putting seed in the ground so I get bread from it to eat. Gosh. Woo! You know, Jesus said some wild and crazy things. And he got very loud about it. He got very bold about it. He didn't bow down. Amen. Verse 37. Go back to verse 37. Watch this. Verse 37. Let me tell you. Let's get to the crux of this. Verse 37. It said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up crying out, saying, remember now, he's telling them, you can't touch this. I'll speak boldly. I got to commit. I got an injunction from my Father. And watch what he says to them. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, he says, as the scripture has said, out of their hearts will flow rivers of living water. In other words, the same river that flowed out of him will flow you. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Amen. Woo! You know, you gotta know there's a river of life flowing out from you. Jesus said it. If you believe in me, he says the same river, the same life that flows out from me will flow out from you and will give life to those that you touch. It'll make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors and set the captives free. You've been called to let people free. You've been called to set people out from cages, from depression, from bondage, from chains, from anything that the devil has put us. You've been called to do that, and you better get busy. Woo. I can do this. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Go ahead, bro. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm just stretching. John chapter 1. Watch this. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. You know one, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? And he came in, the Word was manifest in the flesh, right? Verse, watch what he says here. Watch what John says in verse, well, let's go to verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 12, ready? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So he said, children, in other words, you have the right to become a son or a daughter of God. You have the right to that. That's your right. Do you hear me? That's your right. If he's a son, he's the Son of God. He says, if you believe in me, he says, if you believe in my name, if you received him, you have the right. That's a God-given right. Listen, that God gave you. Your daddy said so. Your daddy said, hey, I'm giving you, this is for you, my son and my daughter. You have the right to be my son and my, you receive him, you have the same as him. Wait a minute. Now watch. Don't go, Melissa. This is going to get good. Watch this. Watch the next verse. He makes it really clear. He says, this is, listen, in verse 12, he says, this is your right to become a son and daughter of God. This is your right. And in verse 18, he makes it very clear what you're not. Verse 12, he says what you are. Verse 13, he says what you're not. Ready? Verse 12, he says you have the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Verse 13, he says this is what you're not. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, and not of the will of man, but of God. You're not born, your blood is no longer valid. I'm going to be very clear with this. Your heritage is no longer valid. I'm not saying to stop believing, you know, hey, I've got a rich Greek history. But my heritage is no longer number one in my life. Because now I'm born of him. That's how I have to see it. That I'm not born of blood. The new man is not of blood, not of the flesh. It is not of the will of man. It is of God. My new person is of God. My new person came from somewhere else. And the more you see yourself as the new person, the less problems you're gonna have. The reason why we hate, the reason why there's racism is because we live in the old man. And that old man, Jesus said, you gotta stop looking at him. You gotta stop looking at the new man created in Christ, in love. In love. The new man. And that's why, listen, when Paul saw heaven, I said this in 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians. We can solve racism and hate. Church can do it. You should be experts at it. But you don't understand the new man. We live so much in the old flesh all the time. I'm offended. Or, you know, I hate this person. He doesn't look like me. He doesn't act like me. Wait a minute. If you're in Christ, you act like Christ. Who cares about the rest? We're brothers and sisters. That's not where my heritage is no longer my blood. My heritage comes from God. I ain't going to die and go back to Greece. I'm going to die and go to heaven. That's where my heritage is. Thank you. Who said preach? Oh, I thought it was a little kid. Sound like a little kid. Sorry. I like it, though. I like it. 2 Corinthians 12. You know, we had a lot of pressure from family to take my dad's body back to Greece. They kept pressuring us. You know, you're not, what do you mean you're not taking him back? That's where all his brothers are. That's where his father is, his mother, his father's father, his father's father's father, his father's 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 father. They're all there. There's a spot for him. That's where he belongs. And you know, when my mom and I, we looked at each other and talked, and she goes, no, I'm not going to bring him there. And I was like, thank God, it doesn't matter where he is. His heritage is in heaven. Doesn't matter. He doesn't have to go back there because it's just a body. Second Corinthians 12. Watch this. I know I said this last week. Again, I'm just tying up some loose ends today. He says, verse 2, Paul says this, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. That means he's there. He says, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Again, he's like, I really don't have a clue. Listen, because he's becoming familiar with the new man. He's saying, man, that new guy. And he didn't realize that new guy was him. He says, that new guy is me, but he doesn't act like me. Because in the flesh, I'm just rotten to the core. I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. I kill Christians in the flesh, but there's something about that new guy. He says, it's so different. He says, for the first time, I experience what that new guy is all about. He says, he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one, I know I make fun. Hey, I always say this. Yeah, thank God I'm Greek. Of such a one, that guy, the new man in Christ, is who I should boast about. He says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast. The moment we put our flesh under, we put ourselves down and said, no, it's not me anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. You church, you can do it. You can solve the problem. The world can't. Don't look to them. We can solve the problem. Listen, when you're in Christ, corona can't touch you. When you're in Christ, cancer can't touch you. When you're in Christ, sickness and disease can't touch you. Poverty and lack can't touch you. Depression can't touch you when you're in Christ. Racism can't touch you when you're in Christ, because you're talking about the old man. You can hate Greeks all you want. That's the old man. I don't care. I really don't care, because that's not me anymore. I gave that up when I accepted Christ. I became the new guy, and I've tasted of the good things of God. The new man in Christ has tasted some really good things in Christ. I've experienced the fire of God. I've seen visions. I've seen the Lord. I've seen an angel standing behind me. I know what that new man can do. But this old guy, I'm not old, but this guy, he's just of the flesh. This, if Jesus should tarry, this will go back to the earth from where it came. And you, if you burn this body up, you can't tell the difference between any other body. Watch this. He says this. He says, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. Time to stop being fools, church. Thank you, brother. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. He says that. And then, let me ask you this. Ready? So, I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up as, yeah, woohoo! Come on, everybody. Yes! No. You know when I moved to Connecticut, I had a plate, a vanity plate, it said ex-Bronx. Because I want to make sure everybody knew I was from the Bronx. But then I got saved and I had to change that. But listen, my point is this, is that I grew up at 1780 Pittman Avenue. I actually was born in the South Bronx. We lived there about a year. We moved up to near White Plains Road, Northern Bronx. 1780 Pittman Avenue, okay? Bronx, New York, 10466. So whenever I drive by there, I do it to reminisce. Ready? I look at it, said, that's where I grew up, but it just doesn't look the same anymore. You see, I can never go back into that house again. It's changed. There's somebody else living there. That's where I grew up. That's the address, but it's not my house anymore. It's not my house anymore. So when I start acting like Artie from the Bronx, I quickly got to remember, it's not my house anymore. That's not where I live anymore. Stop acting that way. You didn't grow, you're not there anymore. You got a new house, and this new house is made by hands. It's made by heavenly hands. It's not of blood or the will of man or the will of flesh. It's of heaven. It's of God. I got a new house that I live in. And you got to look at that. I can't go back to being an old man anymore. I can't go back to being, you know, that old man in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. And devil, you can't touch the new man. My relationship is with him from this point on. That old guy don't live in the Bronx anymore. I can't even go back to the house anymore. You don't have to yell it really loud. How many of you know the fairy tale about the princess that kisses the frog and he turns into a prince? Right? Let me ask you this. Of course, who's the dad? Of course. So let me ask you, when you kissed Brian for the first time, no, just kidding. How many of you believe that the frog knew there was a prince inside. How many of you know this? Do you know the story or not? Fairy tale? What is it? Disney? Who is it? Princess, yeah. Princess Anissa found a frog on a lily pad, and she kissed him and turned into Brian. Listen, how many of you know that the frog knew he was a prince? When he was a prince, did he ever think he would be a frog? Stop acting like a frog. There's a prince inside. There's a son of God inside. There's a king inside. He's the king of kings. There's a king inside. You know, I ain't looking for no princess bride to kiss me, because Jesus already did. He already changed my life. I got my princess. But I got to stop acting like a frog. I got to stop jumping from lily pad to lily pad. Come on. You got to stop being a prince. You got to start acting like a princess, because God made you that. And you got to go from peak to peak. You don't go valley to peak to valley to mountain. No, you go from mountaintop to mountaintop, to glory to glory, and faith to faith, because Jesus made us that way. His blood washed us clean. He's changed us, and we're a new creature in Christ. Finally, Paul writes this after he figured out he was not a frog anymore. He writes this in Galatians 2:20. One of the last things he wrote, this is towards the end of his life. He understands everything. He understands life. And he writes this in Galatians 2:20. I know I said it last week, but this is what you got to get, church. This will solve every single problem you ever had. It'll solve the world's problems if we, the church, would live up to this. Paul says this: I have been crucified with Christ. I've died with him. I died. I've been crucified. He says, it is no longer I, the frog, that lives. It's not me anymore. It's Christ that lives. I have a river of life flowing out of me. It's Christ who lives in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. He says, and the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is a total disrespect and dishonor when you don't walk in this reality to God. It's total disrespect to him and dishonor when we walk in the flesh as yourself and not as Christ in you. Total disrespect to what he did. You can't say you're a Christian and not be in Christ. There's got to be a change. I got to acknowledge and recognize that he lives here. It's no longer me, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. It's a faith walk. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That one verse revelation solves every human problem by the church. You can't offend me anymore. I don't care what you say about me. You can call me Four Eyes, Fatso, I don't care. I say that because that's how I was spoke to as a kid. Did I get angry? Yeah, I did. And at 14 years old, I told my mother to take me to karate school. I became a black belt so nobody would dare say that again to me. I swear. I got beat up so bad when I was 13, I was thrown down 18 flights of stairs. And that's not a joke. You can ask my mom. I was beat up so bad, literally, beat up all the way down 18 flights of stairs, kicked down, beat up. And I went home and I said, Mom, I want to go to karate school. no one will ever do that to me again. Ask her. She enrolled me into karate school. We went to Fordham Road in the Bronx to Tiger Kim's karate school for 4 years. Then I went to Errol Bennett Jamaican Karate Do on 223rd Street for another 4 years, actually longer than that, and I got my black belt with him. So I had two black belts, because I said, never again will somebody treat me that way, ever. Yes, and you've got to be the same. You have a black belt in the spirit. Why did you become a Christian? Why did you give your life to Christ? To tell the devil he can't, you can't kick me down 18 flights of stairs ever again. I am now a Christian. I got a black belt. I got a black belt. I've got a spiritual black belt, devil. You can't touch me anymore. And dare you even touch one of the members of my family or my church. I will show you what I know. I'll whoop you. I'll give you a roundhouse. I've got 3 championships. I was featured in Black Belt Magazine as the number one brown belt champion in the Northeast for 2 years straight. I wasn't joking. When I said no one will ever do that to me again, I was not joking, because I had enough. When I became a Christian, I realized I am not joking anymore. This is a spiritual war, and I will never let the devil do to me what he did before. Ever, ever, ever. I'm in Christ. I want to see people healed. I want to see people's lives changed. I want to see people go to heaven. I want to see people filled with the love of God, loving one another, speaking in new tongues, glorifying and magnifying God. I want to see Miss Betty healed today. Amen. Do you want to bring her up, or you want me to go there? Can I get some? Can you bring me some of that wash stuff, hand sanitizer? I just want to take natural precautions.